No. So I'm going to be reading from the book of Matthew. Our scripture for this out of the book of Acts, but I first want to start in the book of Matthew, if that is okay with everybody. I'm going to start there in any case, even if it's not okay with you. So let's turn to Matthew. So those of you that have your Bible, if you would like a Bible, please put up your hand and we'll get someone to give you one. We've got a bunch of Bibles at the back. So if you need a Bible, please put up your hand. Who knows where the book of Matthew is? Do you know, Max? Please tell me you know, otherwise I'm going to get fired. Where's the book of Matthew in the Bible? It's in the Bible. Well done. Well done. So the book of Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. It was written by someone named Matthew. Thank you. Okay, and I'm going to be reading. Has everybody got a Bible that would like a Bible? Everybody good? I'm going to be reading from Matthew 5, verse 13. Renee, your offering message was so good, I don't even think I need to preach. Okay, so I'm going to be reading from verse 13. Everybody there? And it reads as follows. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Is it then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men? You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. So you might, amen, that's the reading for now. You might wonder why on earth I have this beautiful yellow rope. I will now be performing some sort of trapeze trick. I'm absolutely joking. I want you to, can everybody see this black piece of thing on the rope? This is duct tape. Can everybody see it? Everybody can see? You can see that section? I want you to imagine that this is your lifespan on earth. And I want you to imagine that the rest of the rope is eternity. Everybody, can you imagine that? No, eternity is not in the church's roof, Aldrin, because you're going to go looking after church. No. So this is your lifespan on earth. From the day that you were born to the day that you pass away. This is your lifespan. Can everybody imagine that? How many years is that? On average, depending on which country you're in, there are some countries where the average lifespan of an adult male is 32 years. Like countries where there's civil war, like countries like Syria, those type of countries. It's really bad. I don't know what it is in Australia. I think it's a lot higher. I'm not sure what it is. 83. Are we guessing 83? Okay, so I want you to think about this, right? How much of your time on earth do you spend worried about this section of your life? When look how much we've got to look forward to. So I want you to see that this is eternity. I can't go. The rope is really long. That's eternity. But we as Christians in particular are so consumed with this aspect of our lives. About this. Oh, do I have the right car? Do I have the right house? Did I feed my child this morning? Didn't I feed my child this morning? Did I do the washing? Is there mold on the bread that I made? It's a joke. I don't eat mold. I'm joking. But we as Christians are so consumed with this aspect. And I don't know if you've noticed, but that makes us really, really selfish. Who's ever met a Christian that is one of the most selfish people you've ever met? I've met Christians that are more selfish than people of radical faiths. And I often ask God, I say, God, how can someone be selfish that knows you? How can someone be selfish that's met the Creator? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Today's message is on preaching the gospel boldly. So most of us here, you're here for one or two reasons. You either heard someone preach the message or someone invited you to church, right? Who came to church and was invited to church? Put up your hand. For the first time you ever came to church, who was invited? Okay, so that's a couple. Who came to church because their parents came to church? That's quite a lot of us. Okay. Who gave their lives to God under the preaching of God's word? You heard a preacher preach a message, and because of that message, you gave your life to God. Who is that? Okay, so that's a couple of us. So that's only a few. So I would say out of this auditorium, the percentage of those who gave their lives to God under the preaching of the gospel is at least like probably like 5%. So how did the rest of us then become Christian? If it wasn't through the preaching of God's word, how did we become Christian? Who became a Christian because someone loved them when they needed love? Anybody? I definitely became a Christian because someone loved me when I was unlovable. When I was to pieces, I was drinking, I was doing drugs. But I had my best friend's, his brother, I'll never forget this. We used to go out drinking, and I would get home, pass out drunk on the ground. Don't tell your moms I'm telling you this, okay? Shh. And I would pass out, and I would wake up with his brother standing over us, praying over us, praying scripture over us, calling us into the kingdom. He was such a light in my life that it changed my life forever. His example brought me into the kingdom of God. Did he ever preach the gospel? Did he ever go, if you don't stop drinking, you're going to die? Ooh! No, he didn't. He loved me. That was a bit dramatic, I'm sorry. But he loved me and his own brother into the kingdom of God. And this morning, I want you to see this image, right? Max, can I ask you to take it and walk to the back? And I want you, don't run with it, you'll rip the roof off. Go a little bit. I want us as a church, keep going, Max. Okay, you can stop. I want us as a church to look at this and see how much we have to look forward to as Christians. We will, a lot of us toil and struggle our whole lives for that little piece. But yet, we've got this entire thing of eternity to look forward to, right? So what has that got to do with the preaching of the gospel? What has this rope and that piece of it on earth got to do with the gospel? Absolutely everything. There's a world out there that do not know Jesus. There's a world out there that is falling apart. They're running to everything but God. They're running to spiritualism. They're running to New Age. They're running to everything but the house of God. And why is that? Because we've got Christians that are silent. Not only silent in their word, but silent in their actions. Renee said something that was so profound. She said that the guy recognized something in her, and he asked her, are you a Christian? Now, my question to you is, how many people that you work with, people that you surround yourself with, actually know that you're a Christian? And I know this morning is challenging. It's challenging for me. When I was reading the scripture, I'm like, Lord, am I a light? I get paid by God, if you guys understand what I'm saying. I get paid to work in church. I get paid to work with people, to minister to them. So I know it's not the correct term, but this is my job. My job is as a Christian to preach the gospel. That's my job, right? I'm a minister in this church, or I minister with Pastor Peter, and we encounter people, and we have to share the gospel. And it challenged me so much, because am I doing that? Do the people outside that in the week come and they know we've got the food and everything, do they know that I'm a Christian? Do they know that this man with the amazing beard that walks past them is a Christian? Probably half of them don't. And that's something that God's really been challenging me on. Do the people that you surround yourself with know that you're a Christian? Do they know that there is a heaven and that there's a hell, and that this toil that they're fighting for, thank you, Max, that this little piece that they're fighting for here on earth actually doesn't really matter that much in perspective and comparison to heaven? How much does this matter compared to this? Very little. Very little. So I believe that God is calling us as a church. If we are called church in the marketplace, we should be a church that is known in the market. The market of your work, the market of your social life, wherever you find yourself, do people know that you're a Christian? Does that mean I have to go stand on a soapbox and go yell, "This is the day that the Lord has made. If you don't turn, you're going to go to hell"? No, it just means that I need to love people unconditionally. I need to go, like Renee said, go for a cup of coffee with that person that needed a cup of coffee. Some of the congregation members in this church ministered so much to me and Maxine when Maxine was in hospital by just phoning us, bringing us a meal. That showed more of God's heart for us than any sermon I've ever heard, than any preaching I've ever heard. The actions of a believer. So I want us to turn to Acts. So turn to Acts 17. Acts 17 and go to verse 22. Just to set a bit of background, Paul in this passage goes into a specific town in Athens. And when he walks into Athens, he encounters many, many religions. And as I read this passage, I want you to think of today. God's word is relevant today. If we as Christians don't believe that this word of God is relevant today, just as it was 2,000 years ago, we might as well throw it away. God's word is relevant today. The Bible says that it's living and powerful, sharper than two-edged sword, an edged sword. So this, when I read this, I want you to imagine someone at work, someone in your family, that you can see these things in their lives. And I want you to see Paul's boldness in releasing and preaching the gospel, and what it looked like. So I'll read it for us. So it's Acts 17, verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Arabacaeus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious." Even someone that's an atheist is religious. An atheist person is one of the most religious people that you can get. "For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you." I'll stop there. How many people, once again, don't even know that you worship God? It's really challenging to us, church. We need to have boldness to proclaim the gospel through our lives, through action, through word, through deed. Because there's a religious movement out there that is really radical, that is really bold, and they are drawing hundreds and thousands of young people. They're drawing hundreds and thousands of people because Christians are not standing up. I believe that the time that we are in as a church, not just this church, but a church across the body, across the world, God is calling us as a church to stand up and be counted. I think the time is passing where Christians are just going to sit back and allow things to happen. But I believe Christians are going to stand up and proclaim the word of God and go forth, just like Scripture says, in mighty deeds of acts and power, healing the sick, casting out devils. And I really believe that we are going into that season where God is going to call many of us to do that. Not so radical. I'm not saying you have to be radical, but I'm just saying radically love people. Let's finish with the verse. "Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim." Verse 24. "God who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and of earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and he has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live, we move, and we have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that this divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by the art of man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this all by raising him from the dead. I'll just read to you there. Church, I want us to understand that God has given us a lifetime on this earth. Whether that is 30 years, 50 years, 80 years, 102 years, whatever that time span is, I believe that God is calling us to show people the rest of heaven. I want you to listen to this. This might be a radical statement, but if someone does not encounter Jesus or does not encounter heaven, they're already living in hell. Because Jesus is the answer, the hope. He is our everything. Now, if they don't have Jesus now on earth, they won't have Jesus for eternity. And this is a bold thing, to know that God's given us the responsibility to call people into his kingdom. He's called us to make nations disciples. That's a radical thing. But what does that look like? Does that mean everybody in this church needs to now become a pastor or evangelist or prophet? No. What it means, like, the people that you encounter on a day-to-day basis, you need to love in such a way that they will see heaven in you and it will awaken them to Jesus. And thank you, Aldrin. This kid's amazing. And I want to challenge us this morning that if we want to see this world changed, if we want to see Bondi Junction changed, if we want to see our families changed, we have got the power to do it. Maybe today when you go home, phone that family member you haven't spoken to in years. Or maybe that long-lost brother or that friend that you had a fight with. Reconcile that relationship and show the love of Christ. It's not easy. Being a Christian isn't easy, but it's definitely worth it. The times when I had to go and apologize when I didn't think I was wrong. But that apology brought reconciliation that brought breakthrough. And I really want to challenge us this morning as a church. I believe that God has called us to show the world heaven. Jesus prayed a prayer, said, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done. What is that? Jesus was saying, let all of this, let this be manifested on the world so that it completely overwhelms this. If I had to give this piece to Aldrin, grab that piece. Hold it by the edge of your fingers. And I've got all of this rope. Who's got the most leverage? Me or Aldrin? Stand quickly, Aldrin. Go stand over there. Hold it by the edge. Who's got the most leverage? Me or Aldrin? Look at all the rope I've got. I've got the most leverage. Right? We as Christians, we've got the most leverage because we've got heaven. The world does not have heaven. We've got heaven. We have got all of heaven backing us up. Come on, that's an amazing thought. That no matter what you go through, no matter what you're facing, heaven is backing you up. Maybe you're going through family issues. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Heaven is behind you, backing you, cheering you on. We are more than conquerors. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Church, that's an amazing thing to know. That's an amazing thing to be aware of. Amen? Cool. I'm going to pray for us. There's no song today sending us out for a specific reason. I want us once again just to pray for each other, and then we're going to go out. Please, after the service, Lucy has got some hot chocolate that she's selling for $5. Okay, so all of that, the money that Lucy raises, it's all going to Christianity Works. So she's not buying a new car. She's actually giving the money to an organization. So let's pray. Father, we just want to say thank you, God. Thank you that you have placed heaven in our hearts. God, we thank you that you have given us all authority to trample over all the power of the enemy, God. We thank you, God, that we as Christians don't have to be fearful, God, because you love us. And God, you have made us more than conquerors. And there's nothing in this world that can separate us from your love. So God, I want to pray that we as a church, we as CMP, will get boldness, God, to preach the gospel in word and in deed, to love the unlovable, to reach the people that nobody wants anything to do with. God, give us the boldness to love without measure. And Father, I pray for the rest of us, God, and for the rest of this day, that you will speak to our hearts and that you continue to draw us out of the kingdom of darkness and into your kingdom of light. We thank you, Father, that your will be done on this earth, and that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. I just want to share something. I prepared a completely different message. You can ask Maxine last night. I was going, my gosh, I was speaking to David on the phone. I'm like, David, I actually have to go prepare a whole new message. I prepared something completely different. And I asked the Lord to give us a message that will speak to us where we find ourselves. I really believe that God wants us to show the world who he really is. For so many years, Christians and religious organizations have misrepresented who God is. Jesus came to serve, to love, and to set people free. It is a privilege we have to do that. Amen. Church, just something else that I just thought. If there's anybody of you that maybe you haven't given your life to God, maybe you haven't made a commitment towards Jesus, and you would like to, the church, we've got pastoral elders that will be here after the service. They have got stickers on, so please find one of them or come speak to me or speak to one of the people on the church council, and we would like to pray with you and lead you to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name. Amen.